Hello and welcome to our Coffee and Hustle podcast. I am Carla Stiles with Design My Carla, and I am so delighted. I am going to be featuring Erica Despain with All Things Madison. Today, we're going to take a little bit different turn in our podcast, and we're going to talk about the art of harmonizing life and business for success, balancing all that out. And this year, you know, I think this month is all about your mental health and the balance of all of it. And so welcome to our podcast, Erica. Come in and talk to us a little bit about you and tell us a little bit about your history. Let our audience know who you are.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you. And I love this topic. I think I would want to hear someone talk about this topic. And I think you could hear this from 10 different people and their stories would all be so different. So absolutely love it. Yes. Like you said, I'm Erica Despain, and I founded an online advertising influencer type content creation brand in early 2020. And so the pandemic and I got to grow together and navigate all of that at the same time. So we are right at 3.5 years old. All Things Madison has a optimized website, Facebook and Instagram, and our email newsletter is actually our favorite thing. So, but in my personal life, I'm a mom to 3 young girls, elementary school and down, and have been married, enough years where I have to think about how many years and we live in Madison, Alabama.
Yeah. And you were, when the way I've heard it is that you were from Madison and then you left and then you came back. So what that was your, and your husband was in the military. Did he actually retire now? And it brought you back here because this is where you wanted to be?
Yeah. So my adulthood did not look anything like either of us thought it would. So yes, I did grow up in Madison. So graduated from Bob Jones, which was our only high school at the time in Madison, went to the University of Alabama, Roll Tide, and was there as a sophomore when I met my husband, who was also a sophomore at West Point. And we got married right after we graduated. And so we ran around the country. He was active duty for 8 years, and then he got out of active duty side and is still a reservist now. So we had a lot of things we wanted in a place to live. We really could have started over anywhere. But the North Alabama area made sense. And so here we are, and we are so happy.
You know, I guess, you know, we always go into one path, right? This was their intentions. When we first meet, we get married, this is our dream. And then it's like, all of a sudden these things happen to you and you have to figure out like that road of which direction you go with that. And so now that you've landed back in Madison, you hit the road running, and it was just so impressive to see the growth of where you started to you are today. And I think you've learned a lot about not only just your business, but probably yourself, right? So if you think about that, I mean, that's a lot about being in this industry. When you're in this industry, you got to learn a lot, and you got to learn it fast, and you got to learn the ups and downs and figuring out how to figure all that out. So I guess my question is that, you know, that work-life balance, a lot of people like to use that word a lot, but you're a role model for the community. You know, I see a lot of things that you do. You actually do a lot of self-help. You know, you go out, but not only do you advertise, but you actually are involved in it.
Yes.
And so it really does help. Yeah. So that really helps you along that. So how do you I want to know one thing is like, how do you manage the interruptions? Like, how do you manage that? Because I know that you get those being a mom, being a wife, and trying to balance it. How do you manage that?
You know, I had a blog since 2008. Writing has always been my thing. I've had a lot of hobbies and this and that, but the one that has stuck is I've been a writer forever. I mean, I've been writing since I was in elementary school. So I had a blog, and I monetized that blog starting around 2014. So, and my first daughter was born in 2013. So the whole time I've had a child that I've been a mom, I've been writing and monetizing and figuring out, you know, how to do all the things, which I now know is not possible to do all the things. And what I realize is best for me when it comes to me working and doing something I love, but also being a mom, is I have to have work hours. And that blending the two for me does not work. So what that's actually looked like is that for my youngest daughter, when she had just turned two, I mean, that month had turned two, we enrolled her in a full-time preschool setting. So she went 7:30 to 2:30 from the time she was two. And I said, if I am choosing to put her, because my other two kids didn't do that. They didn't go to full-time school. I was trying to keep them home, but also do my thing. And I realized I was just wreaking havoc on my brain, trying to do all the things. So for me, I found that if I could have those hours to work and engage in something I loved while she was at a place that I knew was great for her as well, that at 2:30 when she gets home, I'm mom. And that does not work 100% of the time, but I do think I stick to it 90% of the time. I miss out on a lot of evening functions and networking and socializing because I'm home with my babies, which in the big picture is what is best for me and my family.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I can remember those days when I started my business with my twins and, you know, I was doing work, side hustling before they, you know, I found out that I was having twins and yeah. I was like, okay, you know, so do I quit my full-time job and do this full time? And so I had to make those decisions. And when I made those decisions, it was very scary. It was, stressful. Anxiety was really, really hard because it was like, okay, what am I doing here? Cause you question every step of the way. But one of the things you do is like, as a mom, you feel guilty. Sometimes that guilt comes in and you're like, I should be baking cookies right now with my children. And instead I'm over here doing this production work. So sometimes it's like, you almost have to go, you have to be in total control. And sometimes when you're not in control, you're like, is that possible to get back into that routine? Sometimes it's just taking a moment. I don't know about you, but sometimes I would go hide in the bathroom just for a minute to like just center. But it was very difficult. I mean, you're all in or you just need to not do it. And I think you're all in, you know, from pride perspective of seeing you, it's like, you're all in and I can see your determination. I can see your love for it. You can feel your passion. So knowing that you have that with your children, that balance is, you know, it's hard sometimes, but it is what it is, right? You know?
Yeah.
So, well, I mean,
best we can.
Yeah. It's the management of it. You know what I mean? So, because, you know, things throw their wrench in. So when do you take time out? Are you intentional with your time? Do you sit some time aside to evaluate your schedule? Do you take the time out like once a week and just say, okay, let me reevaluate my schedule. Let me rewrite my calendar. So it fits everybody. Do you do something like that for your business and your children?
Yeah. Well, the last 2 weeks actually have been interesting because my kids have been on fall break for 2 weeks. And so I had my older kids run fall break last week and my little one is on fall break this week. So it speaks to, I'm constantly having to look at my calendar actually. Yeah. And I would say 90% of the time, I know that these are my work hours. Mommy has a job, just like anybody that's working outside of the home in, you know, normal corporate America. And so these are my work hours that I know help provide, you know, our life. And that I should not feel guilt about that, right? Like making money is not a crime and raising my kids that's just part of it. And so I've tried to remember that. My oldest daughter's 10 now. And so I think I've done better with the mom guilt, but I also try to remember that because I do have my own schedule and the flexibility, I can use it if and when I need to. And so I have to be very disciplined with how I do that and not jump on every single opportunity. Like, for example, I don't really do lunch or coffee dates with friends or family, just because those are my work hours and I know that I can see them after my work hours. But yesterday, for example, my kids had a half day at school and they could have come home half day and just hung around the house, that would have been completely fine while I worked. But I said, you know what? They have a half day. I can squeeze in 3 hours of work in the evening. I'm going to take 3 hours and go run around with them. And we went and got ice cream and grabbed some fall clothing and just spent time together. And that's the exception. That's not the norm. But I know that we can do that when we want to.
Yeah. I mean, I think I can remember when my children were little at the house, and those days, you know, where you knew they were at home and you had to reevaluate your schedule and all that. And it was such a treat. Like, I would literally load them up for dinner and go to Waffle House and like, hey, let's go to Waffle House. And they were so excited because they were going to get waffles, you know? Yeah. And it was things like that. It was those small little things that definitely add up. And that's those moments where, you know, you're working so hard and you've got this really crazy schedule, but it is difficult because, you know, when you're a businesswoman and you're trying to balance all that, it's like, in some ways or another, you know, you're trying to make everybody happy. And the one thing that sometimes is like, it's hard to explain to other people outside of your circle that doesn't understand, why can't you just go have a coffee break, right? Or why can't you just go have a glass of wine? Or, hey, tonight's dinner night. And you're like, I'd rather be in my bed right now and take it in the air. I just want to sleep.
Yes.
Yes. I just want to sleep. Just let me sleep. Yeah. And, so totally understandable, because when you are, I'm not saying vicious cycle, but when you're in that cycle, when you're in that moment, it's a moment where you're like, it's okay to be hard on your, you know, it's hard sometimes to make those decisions, but it's okay to make certain decisions that benefit for your family and for your sake. Yeah. You know? But not everybody understands that, you know what I mean?
No.
So I think that's so important. And so is it hard for you to say the yes and the no? I mean, are you getting to the point where you go, it's easy to say the no versus the yes?
So it's not hard anymore. I am so clear now in when I say yes and no, that it's not hard at all. But I think the only way I've gotten there is because of the gift of time. I mean, I've now been doing all things Madison for 3.5 years, but then also had that prior experience.
Yeah.
And I really think it took the full 8 or 9 years of working for myself, being a content creator, having children, raising children, to figure out a rhythm that is good for me, good for them, and good for our family as a whole. And I don't think I would have found that rhythm overnight without just figuring out over the course of a few years what works best for our family.
Yeah. And it has to work best for you too, because you don't want to feel like you're putting all this effort into something that's really not going to work. And and because it all seems to come together, and you've got a family that's very supportive, your children supportive. I see things that you do for them. I see things with your husband. You guys have this really great support system. And I think that's important. Explain to people what that means to you, the support you get from your family.
Oh gosh. I mean, I think anyone who has a small business, it's a family business. I mean, even if they're not overly involved, it has to be something that everybody has an understanding of. Because for me, it every day and everything I do involves just my own brain and self-motivation.
Yeah.
And if things are off with them and they're draining me and they're resisting some of what I'm doing, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So, you know, for example, this past weekend, I'm not sure when this is coming out, but this past weekend, I had a booth at a festival, but I was also a very heavy volunteer at the festival. So it was all hands on deck. I mean, my husband knew for 3 days, this is what I'm doing. And you don't see an ROI on that. It's not like, oh, hey, I'm going to go spend 3 days doing this, and then we're going to see this benefit. It doesn't work that way. It's just having an understanding that as a whole, there are just certain times you have to put your head down and honestly not have balance. Like I didn't have balance for 3 days. It was 90% work, 10% family. But then there are other times where it's the other way around. And I think we all look at it, like my husband and I and our family look at it from like whole picture point of view.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a very difficult place sometimes. It's like, there's a part where you have to be on, and being on doesn't mean that you have all these different distractions, these little tiny distractions that can interfere. But not all the time. And I hear you say that you did it because you're not necessarily going to get a return in value, but it's really part of who you are and the community that you're a part of, especially Madison that you're, and if it would not have been right if you wouldn't have that festival, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's a placeholder for you there. You know what I mean? So it's that expectation sometimes can also put pressure on you too, but it's in the long run, it's worthwhile, right? Because you are part of that community like that. And that's such a great thing to be. It's like Madison's not without you and you're not without Madison, so it's like you've stapled that together without even really realizing that, I think, in some ways or another. So when you look at like even like your competitors, when you look at people that are competing with the same type of industry that you're in, you still are just, you stay out of that competitive edge, you kind of level it up and you make it your own. So even though it's all things Madison, there's this personality that's really shining bright, you know, in that mix, you know.
No, so you're so sweet. I'm just going to talk to you all day. You just make me feel better.
Well, I mean, I see you from afar. I've seen you from, I watched you, not that I was like, not in a stalking mode, but I observe you in a way where I'm like, okay, she's really defining it, redefining it, leveling it up. Oh my gosh, here she comes again with something else. And you just released your new website. You just got your new website up and running. So, I mean, not that you didn't, you had a great website before, but this is what was the change in this new website that you just launched? Like, what did you do differently?
Yeah. The biggest thing that it's funny. I don't know if you've ever built a home or had a new construction or anything. It really is very similar, the online thing, because you have what everyone sees on the exterior.
Yeah.
But then you have the interior, which is for me, the behind the scenes. And you have someone that walks into your home and experiences, you know, the living room kitchen area, which is kind of the homepage. But once they start digging in and poking in, are things flowing well? And there's so many things that need to flow well for your website to perform well. And my website, in my opinion, is not a website that anybody is going to go to and say, that's the prettiest website, the best website. It's going to win national awards. That was never the goal. The goal was never for anyone to go to that site and just be blown away. The goal for that site, for my new website and custom design, was for it to just be flat out easy to navigate.
Yeah.
I am a person that is not, I don't know how to say this. I'm just very honest. I'm just going to say, I'm not like into vanity metrics or like, I need to have the prettiest website. I need it to just be functional. I want someone to come to the site, have a really good experience by finding what they need, and then they can move on with their day.
It's called user experience.
Yep,
it's user experience. It's putting in, the customers put in what they want and you're giving them what they want out. And it's the output. Mm-hmm. So you're giving them the two user experiences when you come to your website. And you don't have to have, to me, pretty doesn't always work. And branding and colors and all those things, they're great. But functionality and user experience is probably the most important, because you want them on there to do things. You want to keep them on there and you are doing that. So that really just helps you, not only that, but you're benefiting from that in the organic aspect. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when I look at your website, I see functionality. I see you're telling me what you're offering. You're telling me how to do things and you're getting me there to those places that offer all these things. You've got a lot of stuff going on. So you've just taken it up another level. You came in and you had some really good information, but now you're just like, now you've got this great directory on there where people can look, you know, literally go on there. There's resources and see things that, you know. So I think the informative aspect of it is really solid. So congratulations. That's a lot of work. I don't think people understand putting a website. It's so much work. It's not just a go buy template. Listen, I've been doing website designs for 25 years and people still think, let's snap your fingers and it's done in 2 weeks. No, that's not how it happens. But if you want a really good functional website and you want it to work well, You want it to last for the next 5 to 10 years. And you do that, right? And so you put a lot of thought processes in that so that you don't have to do this again next year. So that's the whole point, right?
And we also couldn't afford it because the websites are very expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think also it's updated often. That made it a little tricky. It's not like just a website with our offerings and then you never have to update it. We update it every day, which made it very tricky. And I think it's kind of like building a house too. At some point, it's not going to be 100% perfect.
Right.
It's
never going to be perfect, but it's good enough to where you can proudly put your stamp on it. Yes.
Right.
And that's exactly, and that's the building. Let's just move on. Right. That's right. You finally, because I think that when we're over perfectionist, when we're, you know, and I do have a lot of people that I come across it that when you're overly, you know, perfectionist or, you know, in that aspect of those things, sometimes we hold on to it until it's just perfect. And you develop something that you definitely can start building on in a gradual way where it benefits you and the business too. So I have a question on that. Do you look at yourself in the competitor sense? Do you feel like now that you're leveling up to the point where other people are looking at you, which I think they are, you know, let's give them, you know, I give them credit. You have leveled it up. Do you feel like you're always having to push a little further because you've got more people looking at you now?
Sure. I mean, I recognized very seriously about a year ago that the more gasoline I put on this fire, the bigger that fire is going to grow. And that means the more it can either bright things up in a good way or burn things. Like there is responsibility where there is more eyes. And also there's a lot of influence with what I put out there for my businesses. So, you know, whatever messaging I put out there, it needs to be in line with what they want, because the fact of the matter is there are thousands or tens of thousands of eyeballs that will see that. And I feel the weight of that responsibility.
Yeah.
But on the competitor side, and I was actually just having a conversation about this with someone recently. I was not the first local niche content creator in the world. You know, in fact, I was inspired by something I read about a local content creator in Washington State in 2015. I mean, I didn't come up with this concept, but what I did do is use all of my own experiences plus my own passions and gifts to formulate my own road. And I feel really confident that I didn't model that or copy that from anyone. And if I can do that myself, other people, they can use their voice and do their thing their own way. I think something really cool about the content creator world is that somebody can follow 5 people and it doesn't take away from the other one. Does that make sense? Like, you can follow 5 different people and still follow and support all of them. Yeah. Where it can get a little hairy is on the business side. Well, does a business want to advertise with her or him or me? Or because I don't want to miss out on like advertising opportunity. But I had to come to terms with, if they don't like my work and they like somebody else's work,
yeah,
go for it, because you're not going to get the same thing because we are so unique. So if they want something else, then like, that's great. And then if they want what I have, then they can come to me. And I think I just feel really secure in that.
Yeah. And I think that when you have that, those right kinds of people or the right kinds of audience that are wanting to advertise with you, you feel like you can back it up. Right. So,
yeah,
because I think that, I mean, you don't take every person that contacts you and says, hey, I want to advertise with you, because
not even
you
close.
You have to back that up. And so I think it's, you're putting your staple on it, your name and your face on it. And you also, you got your family behind it too. So in some ways or another, you have to represent that audience or that business well. And so they've got to have a very good reputation. You probably have a criteria list, right?
Oh, yeah.
To test it out and you got to go. So what is that? Is there something in that, you know, in that aspect of your checklist that people need to know about?
This sounds so crazy. And I think you would understand, but I wonder what other people would think. So I can tell 95% of the time if we're going to work together by our first email. First message. I don't know. I've now worked with and corresponded with hundreds of businesses, like maybe 500. I mean,
yeah.
So there are just some common denominators. For example, I'll give you an example. Someone will send me a message in Instagram. Hey, I want you to write about my business. There's a 1% chance that that is actually going to come to fruition, because is that like how serious you take your own business? That is how you want to represent yourself? Does that make sense?
Yes.
There's a correlation with how serious you take your communication with someone and how that correlates to how you run your business and what experience you want to give to other people. So if we have kind of an odd experience from the get-go, it usually doesn't pan out.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have the same energy. You know what I mean? Like, in some ways, yeah. You meet, you know, when you meet people in face to face, you know, within like, I don't know, within 5 to 10 seconds, if we're going to be friends or not. Right. So you're like, I like you, or I don't like you,
or
I got to go. So time, you know, like you said earlier, time is so important, right? So you don't want to spend time trying to figure it out. You just need to know. And having that checklist mentally, and not only that, but also did they say what they're going to say? Because it's almost like a resume. Sometimes when people send you stuff, it's like a resume. And you're like, is this true? Do they, you know what I mean? Because they'll lie on their resume. They will lie on that resume. And then when you get them in, you're like, you really don't know anything. So why did you have to lie? I'd rather you be honest. And that's probably the same way with you with businesses. You want them to be as honest about their business as possible. And you want to back that up. So I think I commend you on that. Because that's very hard, because that's money that you're turning away, right? Because you're going, oh, that's money. I know I'm not going to make that today, but that's okay because my reputation's much more important, right?
Whole and I think picture. That's
the whole game, right? It's the game. It's the game of what makes you unique. And so I think that's important when you're establishing yourself. And we talked about competitors, but in some ways or another, you don't have to take everyone just because you get an inbox DM or a message in an email. I am like you, filter them out, make sure they feel good to you, right? Mm-hmm. But it makes it easy for you to say no now. I think it's back in the day when I first started my business, it was like I took business because I needed to make money and I needed to pay my bills and I needed to take care of my kids. And now as I've gotten older and I've been doing this for a long time, it's easy for me now to go, no, this is not going to work for me. Or, you know, maybe it's time for you to go, you know, your separate way. And it's made room for other opportunities. Do you feel that way too? I mean, in some ways.
Oh, for sure. We say often that if we say yes to this, we're saying no to something else.
Yes, that's right.
And that's kind of in my purse. I mean, that's with anything. Like if my husband and I, if there's a Friday night plan and we get invited to something and we don't really want to go, it's like, if we say yes to that and then there's something else that comes up, we're saying no to that. And it's true. Like saying yes means no to something else. So we just look at it like that.
Yeah. So you take time off for yourself, right? You take time off for your business. Mm-hmm. Is there a time where you get things down? Like, I know that you are scheduling things way ahead of time, right? I know you well. You've got a calendar full. You probably already got a whole month already ready to go. And, you know, I mean, I also like to do things off the top too. I'm like, oh, well, I need to do a video today. You know what I mean? Because I feel good. Yeah. Right. And I'm like, oh, I need to do this. But do you schedule ahead of time, prepare your content do you have, and you've got a great group of people that are working for you too, as well, right? They're behind the scenes working for you as well.
So actually just one. So I have one full-time team member, Lauren, she's been with me almost 15 months, which is so amazing. Yeah. So it's really just she and I. We could use five more, but it's really a chicken or an egg situation. I mean, in order for us to have more team members, we have to do more, but in order to pay them, we need to do more. So it's yeah. kind of a hard thing in growing your business. I do have a profitability coach though. So she kind of helps give me direction with how to grow and scale. But yeah,
well, it's great. Really,
just yeah. the two of us.
I think that in some ways or another, learning how to manage your, not just time, but your money with your budget is so, so important. And those are things that they do not teach you. They do not teach you this in school. They do not teach you when you graduate. They do not teach you this in college.
No.
It's a learning process. It's sad, right? And as we've gotten older, we're starting to see that other people are getting those kinds of things, which is good because your children are going to be much more knowledgeable to retire at 40 versus what, they'll be retiring at 40 where we're trying to retire now. So I want to talk about, now that we've talked about all things medicine a little bit more, I want to talk about, you're kind of incorporating that influencer aspect into your advertising. So how did the dream become a reality for you?
As far as just kind of starting it and going
for it? I want to know how did it just, like, did you wake up in the middle of the night and said, I'm going to do this? Was it something that, like, how did it all begin for you?
Yeah, it's a good question. So how much time do we have? I was always a writer, and then my daughter was born in 2013. I was an English teacher, left teaching to stay home, and said, you know what? And I went back to my blog and was writing. And that was when, like, early 2014 was when people started slowly making money, not, you know, really anything, but starting to become a thing. And I said, hey, if people are making money from this, then, like, I want to learn how. Well, I didn't have any mentors or anything. So in hindsight, I wish I did, because probably could have, you know, taken off a little bit more or faster. But I say that, like, I don't wish that, because I'm very happy where I'm at now. But I just was a lifestyle blogger and was, you know, making $200-$300 a month here and there, just something to buy baby clothes and diapers and whatever. My husband was always gone. He was always in the field or training or deployed. He did 4 deployments in 7 years. So, and we had another baby, and in the meantime, I was just writing and creating. And then I read an article in 2015 that basically, it was clickbait title, and it said, the, like, multi-million dollar blogger you've never heard of. And I was like, well, if she's a multi-million dollar blogger in 2015, I've never heard of her, like, what? So I clicked it, and she had, I'm drawing a blank. What's the other big city in Washington? There's Seattle, and there's another big city in Washington. I can't remember. I'll think of it as soon as it's over. Let's just say Seattle. She was a Seattle-based wedding blog. So anything in Seattle that had to do with weddings, now you can think of 20 plus things that you have to reach out to and hire for your wedding. She covered all of it. So if you were getting married in Seattle, you reached out to this woman. So she did all the advertising for the wedding industry with her blog and Facebook. And that's why you'd never heard of her, because it was so niche. And I'll never forget that, how she was able to do what she loved, but didn't have to have this global or national platform. Yeah. So fast forward, I moved here to Madison in 2018, and I was really tired of writing about my life. I was really tired of my life being my content. It was getting really, really old. And people at the same time were like, hey, we heard you moved to, you know, Huntsville, Madison. Do you have a recommendation for a church, a daycare, a hairdresser? I was like, gosh, there's literally no one writing about this in Madison. Like, if I go on Google and type in Madison, Alabama hairdresser, I mean, Great Clips website pops up. That was it. I mean, truly, there was nothing or yeah. nobody telling you how to find anything. Meanwhile, Huntsville had everything. And I said, you know what? I know how to do this. Like, I've been doing it. I'm just going to change what I write about. And so in January 2020, we said, we're just going to do this. We're just going to go for it. And I invested, I think it was probably $3,000 or $4,000 over the course of 4 months to get it going.
Yeah.
Because that was all I had. And here we are.
Yeah. I think that's do you feel like that at some point in time, do you feel like there's like, you're an influencer for that community? And do you feel like at some point in time, is All Things Madison going to expand? Or is it just, you're going to stay in this niche?
That's the golden question.
Yeah.
That's my number one frequently asked question.
5-year plan. Like, you've got a 5-year plan. I know you do. You know, at some point you have to look at your 5-year plan and go, what does that look like?
Yeah. It's hard because I just don't think I could pour the same passion into doing it for another community. I mean, I love the city that I write about, and I know the city that I write about. So I would love to expand it in some way and have some ideas. But I can't say for certainty.
Well, I think that in some ways or another, you just kind of have to let it just kind of do its thing. It's like marinating, right? Just let it marinate and just, you know, cause what you've got right now is so solid and it's so good. You know, why try to figure it out yet? You know what I mean? Just let it just peel away as you go, because you've got like, I think there's one of the things that you do now is like Madtown Minute. Do? Is that once? Yeah. You do that once a week.
Once a week.
Which is basically, what is all that about? What do you do with that? The Madtown Minute. You have to tune in for that, cause it's really interesting. I love to listen to you when you do that.
Thank you. You know, it's really just another way of reaching people. People have different ways they want their information. And I have a small group of people that like listening to that every week. I get on Instagram Live and I do it live because it's just super authentic that way.
Yeah.
Whatever comes out of my mouth comes out of my mouth. Kind of like this podcast. It's like one shot. Here we go.
Yeah, let's go.
That's it. Yeah, two of us. And I just talk and recap in real time about what I covered, and usually something slips that I haven't shared before. Like in my Madtown Minute, I shared about a little bit about a meeting I had yesterday that was really exciting. Some in-person gatherings that we're going to start doing soon.
Oh, and nice.
I haven't shared. Yeah. It has to do with dating and singles. And I'm like really excited. But I haven't shared that on any other platform. So if you listened, you heard a little bit, just another element.
Well, you know, and you know, I think you're getting much more, like, I think you're getting more relaxed and you're getting your fun aspects really starting to show. I just want to know the hot dog suit. That right there would be something I would do with you, because I want to take it, put it on, and I want to roll down the hill with you.
Yeah.
I think we should come up with a race. I think we should do a hot dog rolling race down that hill. I would be so for it. I want to know, were you hot in that hot dog suit?
Oh, yeah. And that was like our third business we had filmed that day. So we were just batch producing and it was nuts. But I have to remind myself in those moments that, like, how fun that I get to do this. But, you know, on the flip side, what everyone else sees is the hot dog rolling down the hill. But in reality, Lauren, my team member, she actually made the comment. She was like, if people only knew, A, how much we plan on the fly, but B, how much we don't plan on the fly. I mean, getting to the point of arriving at Toyota Field, filming that content. I mean, we had to, you know, so many emails back and forth with Trash Pandas, so much time spent brainstorming, writing out our script, figuring out our shot list, figuring out what the costume would be, purchasing the costume, packing the video stuff, the candy. My husband's in the attic 5 minutes before because we can't find the trick-or-treat bags. you know, finding Sprocket and costume, like, and then actually getting the shots itself, because once you leave, that's it. So there's so much that makes it a hard gig that nobody sees.
Yeah. I think they see what you put out, but they don't see the sweat and the stress and the creativeness. Because it takes, you know, that is not AI working for you right there. Because, you know, I mean, we talk about AI a lot and how it's going to replace everything. You cannot replace creativity. Period. Hands down. And I think you should keep doing what you do and bring out that personality even more, because I know that it's back there. I know I keep seeing a little bit creeps in every once in a while. I'll see it. And I'm just like, that's her. But when I saw the hot dog rolling down the hill, I'm like, I would be so with her. I'd be like, I'm done for the day. I'm just going to roll down this hill.
Yeah. We're known to finish those shots and then we go to Taco Mama and get a skinny margarita.
that's what you celebrate. That is when you go. That's the highlight. I mean, it's like, I just did a big meeting the other day and I was like, and we got done with the meeting. I was like, this is it? It's 45 minutes. And I was like, high-fiving them. I'm like, high five. This is awesome. Yeah. And I looked at Anna. I was like, hey, you want to go get some cheesecake? She's like, yes. So we went and had cheesecake. And we were like, let's have some cheesecake. So sometimes it's like, it's those little celebrations of like all those little things that just add up. And you definitely, so next time you get a hot dog suit, I'll be right behind you and I'll do it.
And a hamburger or the milkshake, or it'll be like part two.
I will be hamburger, you be the hot dog. I'll just roll down the hill with you. Let's set the date. I would definitely do that with you. So I've got rapid fire. Erica, when I used to do podcasting in the very beginning, I should ask random questions just for fun to get people, you know, get to know people behind the scenes. So do you want to do a little rapid fire? I've got like five really fast questions for you now. Go. Okay. So number one, who is your favorite superhero and why?
That's a hard one. I am not great with all of that, but I'm going to say Spider-Man, only because my daughter thinks that she is currently Spider-Man thanks to a show called Spidey and Friends. And she's my favorite little person ever. So I'm going to say Spider-Man.
That's awesome. Okay. What is the one thing that annoys you the most?
When people waste my time.
Ooh, I like you a lot. 'Cause time is everything. Are you a morning or a nighttime person?
Morning person. I wake up at 4:43 and I go to bed at 8:25.
Yes, I like you even more. Okay, cha-ching. Okay, what supply in your house is running low right now?
Everything. hand soap, because I have three girls who all have a bathroom and we just go through hand soap, like, which is a good thing, but.
Well, that's good though. You've taught them very well. What compliment do people give you the most?
Oh, that's a hard one to answer.
What comes to mind?
Probably that they like my energy, that I'm like a people person, you know?
I don't think you're a stranger in a room. I don't think you're a stranger in the room. I think you make your way around really quick. Like people know who you are. People know who you are, right? When you walk through, they're like, yeah, that's Erica. Hey, Erica. High five. I'm going to be your friend. So I think energy and creativity. I think that is definitely. And I think your blogs, your creativity, all that came to, you know, to the aspect of where you're at today. And congratulations on so many years of success. You made it through the pandemic. I stay pretty busy. So, and I also make myself busy too. So I make myself work. So I just want to talk to you, in our podcast, I want to let everybody know, how does everybody connect with you? How do they find you on social media? Tell us a little bit how to connect with you, Erica, on All Things Medicine.
Yeah, I actually really love connecting via email best. I just think it's much more intimate and direct, and I'm an open book in my email. So email me at my first name, E-R-I-C-A, Erica at allthingsmadison.com. Very easy. Again, I like user experience. And then social media is All Things Madison AL, because there's a Madison in all 50 states. And our website is allthingsmadison.com.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today, Erica. Such a pleasure to have you on and learning so much about you. So I hope that you enjoyed it today, and maybe one day we get to do it again soon. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, thanks for having me, Carla.
Welcome to our 2-minute take on the latest podcast that we did with Erica Despain from All Things Madison. So I don't know if you watched the entire video, but it was an incredible interview, and it talks about how to balance just being everything, which means a wife, a mother, and a business owner. And the aspect of that, I think, is really important to understand. The things that she said were so valid in knowing what you should do as a business owner. And so I think that's so important to understand when you get into business, you don't really know what you're getting into, and you don't understand the roller coaster, and you just have to ride the ride. And so one of the things I thought that was really interesting about Erica when she talked about her family balance and also the support that she gets from that, and everybody has to stay in tune with that. And I think that's so important. If you want to be successful in your business, you have to have the support in your family. And understand that there's days where, you know, that are good and bad. And, you know, there's those rough patches where you have to figure it out. And I think that that's something that's really just important when you're running a business. So those are some really great takeaways in this podcast that I thought very well done. And understanding that not everything goes as directed. And so sometimes those feel goods of you have a calendar outlined with really good information that has to be done each day. Something always comes up, and you have to be able to maneuver around those obstacles. And so that's something I thought that was really shared within Erica's podcast, and her love for her community is absolutely incredible. Not only that, but she understands her niche, and her niche is knowing that she is part of the Madison area and being part of that and being part of that community that supports her, I think, in two of those pieces together, they blend so well. So Erica, commend you. Great podcast. I hope to see you soon.